Now, when you're speaking the specific word, you may have to deal with ignorance, issues of ignorance, or sin, or condemnation, or guilt, or unforgiveness. You see, in Hosea, look at Hosea. I know it's in the clean part of your Bible. That's right. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That's right. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. People have ignorance about the will of God. They don't know the Word of God. That's why you got to speak the specific word. You got to speak that word that clears their ignorance, that releases them. That God not only wants to heal, but that He wants to heal them now. See, there's a difference between knowing that God heals people and that knowing that God is going to heal me right now. See, that second thing is the reality that people have to get. Not only that God heals, but that God is going to heal them right now. And this is a work of the Spirit. As you speak by the Spirit of God, you speak the Word, the relevant, the living Word, the on fire Word, and then you speak it by the Spirit of God, and it destroys ignorance in their lives. It clears the clouds. It clears the confusion away. You know, you can also deal with sin and condemnation. That's right. Many times these are things that hold people back from receiving their healing. You see, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, it says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." And I'm looking for this. I'm looking for this situation in this person's life because I want them to have confidence towards God. And so if I discover by asking, sometimes I'll ask people, what's keeping you from receiving your healing? And they'll tell me about sin in their life, or they'll tell me about unforgiveness, or they'll tell me about rejection, or they'll tell me about bitterness. And I'll minister to those things. See? I'll minister to those things by getting them to confess the Word. By getting them to confess the Word. I had a man one time who needed deliverance, but he hated the man who killed his brother. Now I can understand, you know, I can empathize with that to a certain degree as a man, as someone who has a brother that I love. See, my brother's never been killed. My brother's alive and well. But, you know, this man, he loved his brother. He loved his brother. And a man murdered his brother. And he hated this man. And this was the thing that he had to release. He had to forgive that man. He had to release that man so that God could deliver him. See? And I had to force it out of him. I had to get him to say those words. And I literally, I said, "You repeat after me." And I'm about wrestling with this guy. Because he has to forgive that man if he's going to receive his healing and he'll receive his deliverance. You see, because it says, beloved, verse 21 of 1 John chapter 3. It says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, if our heart does not convict us," and this word condemn is not the condemnation that comes from demons. This is the word of conviction from the Holy Spirit. See, if there's conviction from the Holy Spirit, then you need to deal with what He's trying to convict. Then you won't have conviction. You won't be under conviction anymore. Then, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive from Him. You see, there's something that's blocking that person from receiving their healing, whether it's sin, whether it's condemnation, whether it's ignorance, whether it's guilt, you know, whatever it is. And you need to, in preparing the people, you need to deal with these things. See? You need to take the time that's necessary to deal with these things. You see, the reason why we're ineffective in ministering healing is because we try to do it too fast. You know, if you'll just take 10 or 15 or 20 minutes with somebody, or even with a group of people, you can minister healing to them very effectively. But you know what we want to do? We want to do a little 5-second prayer and then go on to the next person. Do a little 5-second prayer with them. See? For five, you know, thinking that maybe they'll get it, maybe they'll don't. Maybe they'll fall under the power, maybe they won't. You know, and falling under the power doesn't mean somebody got healed. Doesn't mean that at all. That's right. I mean, you can fall under the power for a lot of different reasons besides the Holy Spirit. That's right. You can fall under, you can fall out and faint because you've been standing too long. You know, you haven't had enough food to eat, or you know, you're too tired, or you get shocked by something. Or a demon hits you and you fall because of that. You know, some demon shocks you. That's right. And you fall because of that. You know, don't think that just because you lay your hands on somebody and they fall under the power that they're healed. I mean, they may be, they may not be. See? So, if all we're looking for is people falling under the power, then you're going to have a lot of people coming back over and over and over again trying to get their healing. See? And we don't want that. We want to be effective ministers of Jesus Christ. So, take your time to prepare the people according to the move of the Spirit of God in your heart. You've got to recognize that there may these situations may be coming up. You need to know if their suffering is self-made or if it's man-made. You know, if it's self-made, you can deal with the person. But if it's man-made, you may have to deal with someone else. Or you may have to deal with something else. Like war. Or like, you know, the husband or the wife, you know. Or how he's dealing with his family. If it's natural, then you got to deal with, you know, viruses and bacteria, or old age, or whatever it is. Or if it's demonic, you need to know these things. So you need to recognize these things as you're ministering to these people and as you're preparing them. See? And you're looking for these causes of why they're not receiving their healing. Why they're not receiving their healing. You see, man is a threefold being. Man's a threefold being, and there could be issues in the soul that affect the body. There could be issues in the spirit that affect the soul and the body. See? Look at verse 27 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, bless your heart. Show you some interesting things here. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, look at those words, in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Therefore, the Word of God says, let a man examine himself. And if they're not willing to examine themselves, then you need to be willing to help them and examine themselves. See? And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Then it says in verse 30, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many are dead prematurely. See? This is the cause. It's a spiritual cause of not discerning the Lord's body, what he accomplished by his broken body and by his shed blood. See? And eating and drinking the cup of the Lord and the bread of the Lord in an unworthy manner. And this causes people to be weak, sick, and die prematurely. It says, for this reason, they bring judgment upon themselves from the Lord. That's right. That's right. Bless God forever. Now, it says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged with the weakness, sickness, and premature death. See? If we would judge ourselves, and so what you do in preparing people is not only speak the specific word, but you help them prepare themselves. You help them examine themselves. You help them to get right before God in whatever situation is holding them back from receiving their healing. See? It says, but when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we might not be condemned by the world. Sickness at times can be a chastening from the Lord. Now, I know this goes against most Pentecostal and charismatic doctrine, but brothers and sisters, look at the Word. See? You got to understand why that person is in the situation that they're in. If they're in that situation because they're being judged by the Lord, they're being chastened by the Lord, then you got to minister to it differently than if it's some other cause. See? Now, they can get delivered. whatever reason they're in the sickness, they can get delivered if they get right with God and you minister to them effectively.
See?
I'm not saying that a person, even a person who's being chastened by the Lord, has to stay in that sickness. They don't. But the cause, the thing that they're being chastened for, has to be dealt with.
See?
It has to be dealt with. And it can be by the blood of the Lamb, by the Spirit of God ministering the blood, and them bringing themselves into a right relationship by the moving of the Spirit. See? Hallelujah. And this is all preparation. This happens before you actually minister to them. So you see, if you'll take the time with people, and again, many of us as pastors and ministers, we just want to get through this so that we can go have lunch or whatever else. That is not love. That's not the approach. I've seen it in so many services, and it just angers me spiritually that pastor doesn't want to take the time to minister to those people properly so that they can get healed. They just, you know, he says a nice little prayer over a whole bunch of sick people. Oh, great. Let's get them out of the way, you know, so that we can go on and do the things that we want to do. That's not love. That's not service. Now, perhaps that pastor didn't know what you know now or what I know. But my heart goes out to those people because they came to church looking for something that they couldn't get anywhere else, and the pastor just prays a nice little simple prayer over them and sends them back out again just as sick as they were before. Or perhaps more sick now because of hope being deferred, making the heart sick. See? You got to take the time with people. You got to prepare people. And you got to prepare people individually as much as possible. See? You know what I loved about Oral Roberts? Oral Roberts had over 1 million people healed under his ministry. And he would pray for each one of them individually in meetings. That's right. And he had over 8 million people indicate a decision for Christ through his ministry. That's right, bless God forever. And what he would do is he would preach the word, he would teach the word sometimes for hours. Sometimes for hours before he brought the lines up of people to minister to. And he would minister individually to each one. Now, he didn't always minister as effectively as perhaps he could have, but at least he took time to minister to each one individually. See, and I'm not criticizing him at all. I mean, what he did was amazing. What he did was amazing. And I'm praising him. I'm thanking God for his life and ministry. You know, I have not seen 1 million people healed. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. I have not seen 8 million people, you know, brought to the Lord and decisions for Christ. But you see, what he did was he taught the word, he preached the word, he prepared the hearts of the people, and then he individually ministered to them. See? Now, you may not always need to individually minister, but you still have to minister in such a way that each person is personally ministered to. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may not have to individually lay hands on each person, but each person has to have personal ministry from the Holy Spirit through you. See? That's right. And you can do this. You can do this. And they have to deal with these, if there are authority issues involved in healing. And you have to deal with these. See? Or else it will cause problems. Or else the problems will reoccur again. See? Here, man's a threefold being, and what happens in his spirit affects what happens in his soul, affects what happens in his body. What affects one part of the threefold man affects all three parts. See, that's right. And if you can get their soul cleansed and healed, many times it releases faith for the physical body. That's right. If you can get their soul cleansed and healed by this type of preparatory ministry, then you can get their physical body healed. See? And many times what I'll do is I'll have people confess their sins. You see, the healing includes the casting out of demons. And there are four basic authority issues. There's their will, there's sin, there's unforgiveness, and there's charmed or cursed objects that they may have on their bodies or in their houses that allows those demons to stay around. See? And I deal with those individually with people. Or in groups. I mean, I'll take each one, and I'll have the whole group say, you know, I have a group that comes up for deliverance, and I'll have them say out loud, evil. I want you out of my life. You see, what they're doing is they're telling that evil, and they're speaking to it directly, that's in them, that they, as the owner of that house, they don't want them in there anymore. You see, you can't minister to someone who wants the spirit to be in them. That's right. The hardest people I ever have to get delivered are people who have religious spirits.
See?
Because a religious spirit convinces that person that they are right. That's right. They may be denying the Word of God. They may be denying the Spirit of God. They may be denying the affirmation and the confirmation of everyone else. But they're right. They're right. They're right. And that's what that spirit does, is it causes them to think that their opinion is above the Word of God. That's right. And they're religious, and they're, you know, convicted, and they're just, you know, so determined to hold on to their stand. And you just can't get them delivered. See? And the hardest people I ever have to minister and get delivered of demons is people with religious spirits. You know, I love to minister to people who are in prison, because by the time you get into prison, you're so broken and you're so humbled, you're just ready to receive anything. See? And those people are easy to get delivered of demons, because they've realized how foolish they've been. They've realized how evil this thing is, and they want that evil out of their life. Other people are like that at times, you know. But the real religious people, they're so self-righteous, and they're so impressed with their own knowledge and their own ability and their own opinion that they can't receive it. See? So the first thing that you have to do is you have to deal with the person's will. Do they want this out of their life or not? It's totally up to them. That's right. If they want it out of their life, then you can help them. But you need to hear them say it. So I have people say, evil, I want you out of my life. And they say that, evil, I want you out of my life. That's right. Bless God forever. Then I deal with sin in their life. Could be active and willful sin, or it could be sin that's in their family. Let me show you. Lamentations chapter 5. See? It says, our fathers, verse 7, Lamentation chapter 5, verse 7, says, our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. We bear their iniquities. Sometimes the sins of the father have brought bondage upon the people, their children, even unto the, you know, even the generations down the line. That's right. You see, in my family, there's a record. There's a history of alcoholism. You know, my great-grandparents were alcoholics. My grandparents were alcoholics. My parents were alcoholics. My sister became an alcoholic at one point. And that had to be broken off of all of us, because it was sin in the family that came down through the generations. You see? And here it says, our father sinned and are no more, but we're still carrying the punishment or the effects of their iniquities. See? So many times you have to deal with sin in the family. You know, what in your family is sinful? You know, what is unchristlike about your family? You know, when you think about your family, what's unchristlike about it? Well, we've been in poverty for 5 generations. That's unchristlike. So we rebuke that demon of insufficiency, and the root cause of it being, you know, greed or whatever it is, you know, failure to pay a tithe or whatever it is, or idolatry or whatever it is. You know, we deal with that sin that has brought that iniquity upon that family. See? Or, you know, it's alcoholism, or, you know, we've always been criminals, or we've always, you know, done this or done that. See? It's iniquity that has to be confessed. It's iniquity that has to be confessed. Or it could be personal iniquity. Personal iniquity. That's right. But you don't know. Many times the person does not know their own sin in their own life. That's right. Because they just don't recognize it. It's just been so a part of them. This is why I pray this prayer with people. Time after time after time. And this all is in preparation before I impart the healing anointing to them. I pray this prayer with them. It's from Psalm 139. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties or my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And what I'll do is I'll combine that with 1 John, where it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So what I'll have them pray is a prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts or my anxieties. And see if there's any wickedness in me that I might confess it and be forgiven for it and be cleansed from it in Jesus' name. And after that prayer, I'll just wait as the Holy Spirit shows them, as the Holy Spirit searches their hearts and shows them the sin in their lives, and as they then confess those sins out loud. And you see, I'm giving them all the time that they want. I say, look, take all the time that you need right now. Don't look up at me until you're done confessing, until your heart is clear of all the sin in your life or all the sin that's in your family that's afflicting you. See? And many times people weep and cry. And this is the Holy Spirit's work. He's bringing people to conviction. He's searching out their hearts. He's going through them. He's cleansing them. See? And many times, like I told you, when your soul gets healed, it releases faith for your physical body. See? Then, after I've dealt with sin in their lives, and again, this is after teaching the Word. You know, this is after teaching the Word. This is after, you know, just showing great love and great grace. You know, I'm dealing with these barriers that might be there. And sometimes I don't have to deal with these barriers. I mean, they're already dealt with. But other times I recognize this need, and especially when people need deliverance from demons, I recognize this need to deal with sin, to deal with unforgiveness, to deal with their will, to deal with charms and other things, so that they can really get free and get healed. See, and as a minister, I'm taking all the time that they need. I'm taking all the time that I sense in my spirit that they need to get each of these individual situations right so that we can minister effectively to them. You see, unforgiveness is a powerful, powerful thing. See, it says in verse 25 of Mark chapter 11, it says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. That's right. Here it is in this great context of, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. And whatever I do towards you, my responsibility is to love you. If I don't love you, then I owe you something. See? And that debt of love is something that we hold in our hearts against someone. You know, for instance, a third, you know, in way back in your childhood, the third grade teacher in your school embarrassed you in front of the whole class one day, just made you a fool, made you a laughingstock in front of the whole class. Maybe you had it coming to some respect, but what she did still was wrong because she didn't love you. See? Maybe you needed correction, but you didn't need to be a laughingstock. And so what she failed to do is she failed to love you, and so she still owes you that debt. It might be 30 years later, but you still look in your heart and you think about the debt of love that woman, that teacher, owes you. So what you do in forgiveness is you take that debt out of your heart and you tear it up. You say, no longer am I going to hold this against you. I'm releasing you. I'm releasing you from the debt of love that you owe me. It could be a teacher, could be a father, could be a mother, it could be a sibling, it could be a boss, you know, an employer, it could be a government, it could even be towards God. That's right. That's right. Some people are bitter towards God because of things that happened that they thought God should have done, and He didn't do it the way they wanted it to do. You know, maybe they lost a child at childbirth and they blamed God. You know, or their house was destroyed in a flood and they blamed God. Or their, you know, their crop didn't grow and they blamed God. And they are bitter towards God. See? Now, it wasn't God's fault, but God still wants you to forgive him. Do you understand? See, God's big enough that he'll deal with it. I teach people this, say, to tell God, I forgive you. You know, I forgive you. And it's not that God did anything wrong. The fact is, but they're holding something against him, and they need to release it so that he can minister to them. So that's what we're talking. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. Is we're trying to get people to release their bitterness and their anger towards people and towards others who have done something to them, or they think have done something to them, so that they can receive from God. I remember one time I was ministering, and I was ministering to this one woman, and I got done ministering to her, and there was these other women who were, this is in front of our church, this is at the altar in our church, after we'd gotten done, you know, with the service that day, we were ministering to people. And this one woman, she had a demon, and the demon wouldn't come out. And these women were standing around there, they commanded that demon to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And the demon was talking back. The demon says, I don't have to come out. The demon was talking through this woman's mouth and said, I don't have to come out. And so I watched this situation for a second, and then I realized what was going on. And I walked up to that woman, and I said, demon, why don't you have to come out? And I spoke in just that tone of voice, like giving a command. You're going to tell me right now why you don't have to come out. And that demon said, her father abused her sexually when she was 13 years old, and I don't have to come out. And I knew immediately that she had bitterness and unforgiveness in her heart towards her father for the terrible thing that he had done to her. You see, the fact that somebody has done something terrible to you, you know, that's bad in itself. But it's made worse by the fact that you don't forgive them, because then it just compounds the pain. It compounds the problem. See, and she'd had that burden all those years of bitterness and unforgiveness in her heart, and that, she needed to get delivered of that. And that was holding her back from receiving her deliverance, because they'd already commanded the demon to come out in the name of Jesus, and the demon wasn't coming out because he had authority to still be in there because of the unforgiveness of that woman. It says in another place that if you don't forgive, then the Father will deliver you to the tormentors until you do forgive. And demons are tormentors. You understand? So I had to get this woman to forgive her father. And so I said, I want to speak to Kathy. Now, that's not the woman's name. But just for the sake of my illustration and for the taping of this tape, I'll use the name Kathy. And I said, I want to speak to Kathy. And immediately her face changed. And I had my hands on her throat, like I was just, you know, I was laying hands upon her. And I said, Kathy, I want you to pretend that I'm your father. Do you understand? She nodded her head. And I said, Kathy, when you were 13 years old, I did something terrible to you. And I want you to forgive me right now for what I did to you. And she looked up at me and she said, Daddy, I forgive you. And as soon as she said those words, the demon left and she was in her sound mind. She was healed. So, because the command, I didn't have to say in the name of Jesus Christ, come out, because that command had already been given. That command had already been given. And the only reason that demon was staying around, because it still had authority to stay in her because of the unforgiveness and because of the bitterness that she had towards her father. But as soon as she forgave her father, as soon as she forgave her father, that took care of the final authority issue that allowed that demon to stay in there. The demon knew he had to go. And he went. He left immediately. That's right. You see, these are things that sin, guilt, unforgiveness, people's own will, these are things that allow the demon or the sickness to still stay in that person's body or in that person's soul.
See?
And you have to deal with these things in preparing the people so that they can receive their healing or they can receive their deliverance.
You see?
Now, the final thing is that they hold on to charms or cursed objects.
Bless God forever.
These are physical objects that have been cursed that carry a demon with them, might carry multiple demons with them, and you hold this on your body, or you hold it next to your body, or you have it in your house, and allows that demon to use that thing to influence you or influence others. And that's why I ask people, do you have anything that, you know, that's a cursed object? Anything that's ungodly or that's been a symbol of an ungodly covenant or anything else? You know, I've had people take off rings. I've had people take off, you know, belt buckles. I've had people remove things out of their houses because these things were cursed objects that allowed those demons, that gave authority to those demons to come into that place and to operate out of that place.
That's right.
I was ministering to a man one time, and I said to him by the Spirit of God, I said to him, you have cursed writing in your house. You have cursed writing in your house that's causing you affliction, that's causing strife and trouble in your house, and you got to go home, find that thing, and burn it and get rid of it. It turns out his wife's father, I didn't know this, but his wife's father had been a man who had been filled with a demon that caused him to write things. It's called automatic writing. The man's just, you know, his arms are moving, his hands moving, his brain's totally disconnected from the whole thing, and he's just writing stuff. And there was boxes. There was a big box up in the storage place in his house, in his attic, that was filled with this writing. And it was that cursed material being in the house that gave authority for demons to come in that house and cause strife and panic and hurt and pain and all kinds of fighting in that house. You see, so they have to, you know, these are cursed objects, and they have to be removed. They have to be destroyed. You don't tell them to sell it. They don't give it away. They destroy the damned thing, and that's a right word. It's a right usage of the word damned. It's a cursed or a damned object. That's right. It's something that has the judgment of God against it. And you minister so that they destroy that cursed thing. See, that they get rid of that thing that has brought damnation, or that cursed thing. See? You get rid of that thing. And then they're free. Then they're free. Then once the demon has no more authority to remain, he'll go easily. Same with the sickness. Same with the disease. That's right, in the physical body. You have authority over these things. And then, finally, you have to teach people, and this many times comes after you've imparted the anointing to them of healing, you have to teach them how to keep their healing. And it's very simple, for the most part. It's very simple. They have to rebuild the lordship of Jesus Christ in that area of their life. That's right. They have to rebuild the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. That's right. And maybe they need diet and exercise, you know. That's for the physical body. I mean, because we're a threefold being, spirit, soul, and body. You know, and the more you learn about these things, the more you'll recognize them. But I always, especially after deliverance, I always have people read the Word and read much of the Word of God to build the Word back into the mind and to build the lordship of Jesus. And they've got to recognize godly habits and develop godly habits and get rid of ungodly habits. See? You know, smoking a cigarette, perhaps, is not evil in and of itself, but it weakens the physical body. It weakens the physical body, and it can open you up to a demon of nicotine. That's right. That's right, where it becomes addictive. Anything that's addictive, basically, is demonic. That's right. Any addictions, they're not just physical, but they're demonic, and you have to get rid of the demon as well as, you know, heal the physical body. See, but basic things like drinking lots of water, eating good food, getting enough sleep, getting enough exercise, having proper, you know, sexual relationships between husbands and wives, These are things that are healing, they're natural, they're normal, and they need to be put into that person's life if they're not there already. See? And then reading the Word, prayer, these other godly habits that need to be built into the person's life. You know, exercise of the physical body, proper exercise. All these things can help them to keep their healing and to keep the demons out. Bless God forever. And the more you learn about ministering healing, the more you're going to learn about how to help people to keep their healing. And as you study these things, the Spirit of God's going to teach you, and He's also going to, you know, He's going to instruct you at the moment, and you just believe God to impart the instructions. So, you see, this is a whole field of study. And the more you learn, the more you do, the more you're going to learn about this. You're not going to master these principles of preparing people overnight. You're not going to master these principles of preparing people. What I want you to get now is to understand some of these things. Understand about speaking the Word. Understand about walking in great love and having great grace. See, understand about taking time with people to minister to them, spirit, soul, and body. And then you'll develop your discernment. You'll develop your ability to become much more effective in ministering healing. See, you'll grow in this. You'll grow in this whole aspect of preparing people. And you'll see many, many miracles come of it because you are walking in the love of God and you are becoming an effective minister of Jesus Christ.